of those VACS resources by allowing the geriatricians to remain in the hospital and video conference out to the facilities rather than travel there where it was appropriate. Obviously, it wasn't appropriate for every case. Patients were happy. The staff were happy. We were able to provide timely reviews for unwell patients. So again, those VACS services, if they weren't able to immediately go out to the facility, they were often able to get onto a video conference for 20 minutes. And smoothing that process, so when patients came into hospital, they would be a planned admission rather than an admission through the emergency departments. Specific enablers and barriers for the project. So we had a really strong clinical and executive champion for this project. And as I mentioned, the building of strong relationships and good communication with the RACFs was key. Through this, we were able to collaboratively develop the model of care. So it wasn't just a model of care for the hospital. It was a model of care that worked for both the RACFs and the hospital. And then we supported them during the implementation, especially during those early stages. The barriers we had were that two of the facilities had a change in management, and one of them also had quite a significant turnover of nursing staff. So we had to go back in and re-engage and retrain staff. And also the technological restrictions. So we wanted to expand this project, and our plan is to still expand this project to other RACFs, but we're restricted by our firewalls. So we're trying to resolve this in a way whereby the facilities will be able to purchase their own equipment and link into our equipment. So we're not funding their equipment and their ongoing costs. Also issues like black spots. So the plan was to conduct the consultations by the patient's bedside or in their rooms, but sometimes we do get those black spots where their connectivity is just not good enough, so we have to move the residents out to another area. The next project is our telepsychiatry project. And this is about emergency departments in rural and remote areas. For us, it's having limited or no access to specialised mental health assessment outside of regular business hours. Patients have been previously transferred between hospitals for mental health assessment, and it increased patient distress and exacerbated their symptoms at times. So our aim for this project was to assess patients in the emergency departments for mental health assessment, provide an opportunity for patients, families and carers to be a part of that assessment. Often when they were transferred from hospital to hospital, the family were unable to follow. So this provided an opportunity for them to be more involved in the assessment phase and also support the emergency department physicians in those rural areas. The key actions for this was, although we do have a telehealth steering committee within our LHD, we established a steering committee specifically for this project. We knew it would be complicated, so there was a specific steering committee established. Extensive stakeholder engagement. So this project involved the three facilities, Lithgow, Blue Mountains and Nepean. There were emergency staff, doctors and nurses, as well as psychiatric registrars at Nepean, administration staff, medical records staff. There are a lot of people involved, so it was quite extensive stakeholder engagement. We developed documentation including action plans, business rules to guide the patient inclusion and exclusion criteria and the processes, equipment testing, so identifying what equipment was going to work best and conducting quite extensive testing, training of staff, and the ongoing review of the process, and that is still ongoing. The benefits for this one were that we have been able to avoid unnecessary transfer of patients between the hospitals. We've been able to provide that timely assessment and encourage the family participation, and the clinicians in those sites are feeling much more supported with the care of these mental health patients. Enablers for this project, again, we had really strong governance and support by the chief executive. Through the process, we also had the gazettal of Lithgow Hospital, and what this meant was prior to this, Lithgow was not a gazetted facility, so patients presenting by police or by ambulance would be diverted to another hospital. Lithgow became gazetted, so it meant that they were able to assess patients within their emergency department, which really reinforced for us that telepsychiatry was a necessity because they didn't have those specialised services after hours. The barriers included a change in champion and key stakeholders, and this was happened quite a few times across the course of implementation. There are multiple steps for the clinicians, and it's about trying to streamline those steps, and it's an ongoing process. So it's not just that the clinicians have to video conference, they've also got a document. We need to make sure we're recording the activity. So there are quite a few steps involved. And we also had equipment malfunction early in the piece with one hospital in particular. So it was, we had to go back in and build the confidence of the staff back up when they just, you know, started to video conference and it all of a sudden failed. Okay, the next project is the home hemodialysis app. So this project involves the Western Renal Services, which is across two LHDs, Nepean and Blue Mountains, and also Western Sydney LHD. It's one of the largest home dialysis therapies in Australia, but there are limited nursing resources. So the nurse-to-patient ratio is about 1 to 36. The aim of this project was to increase the patient contact with the specialised nursing staff, monitor dialysis treatment parameters in real time, to provide a platform for clinical assessment and timely detection of the potential complications. And for the patients, it was to assist patients' decision making and also replace the patient's logbook. The next diagram for those who have the presentation just outlines what we did. So we developed an app whereby the patient put in their dialysis treatment information that they would previously put into a logbook. They could choose to push this to a secure cloud. It was up to them. If they did, it meant that the nurses were able to view that data in real time. And it also has the capability of printing reports. So a physician can get 3 months or 6 months worth of data in a graph that outlines trends and really gives them a good understanding of how the patient has been progressing. The next diagram is just an image of what the app actually looks like. So the key actions for this project was that we first developed an agreement between the two LHDs so that we clearly understood our roles and responsibilities. Engagement with the University of Sydney's Institute of Biomedical Engineering and Technology was key to this project. In the initial stages, we conducted a needs analysis, and that involved extensive patient and staff engagement, so really understanding what was it that they wanted to see in this app and system and how it would best work for them. We then had the process of the app development and testing and further development and further testing, so this was ongoing and is still ongoing. So there's an ongoing review of the system and frequent updates to the system. The benefits and outcomes of this one are that we now have simple and easy to view dialysis data in real time for those who choose to, as I said, push it to the cloud. We have an efficient and easy record keeping system, and it's been developed with the patient and for the patient. There's increased compliance and frequency of reviews, less travel for both patients and staff. We've utilised best practices, so highest level of security, training, documentation, all of that supporting information. And we're now able to capture the number of treatments per month for activity-based funding, whereas previously, because it is home dialysis therapy, it was estimated. We have a more accurate measure of the dialysis numbers. Enablers for this project were that the objective and benefit to all stakeholders was very clear. The app was customized for the users, and we had that great collaboration with the University of Sydney's Research Institute that actually made it happen. Barriers include ongoing upgrade and further developments, and this is to ensure system compatibility. So as our smart devices are improving, we need to make sure that the app keeps up with that. And also increase usage. I think there's about 80 patients using the app now, and we're looking at trialling it in a second site. So we need to make sure that it is functional with increased usage. We need to look at a sustainable cost model, so it's one of our works in progress. It costs money to keep an app updated and a system updated, so how are we going to fund that? And also, I think with any telehealth project, there's always staff and patients who are uncomfortable with using mobile technology, so it's trying to make that as user-friendly as we possibly can and support the staff and patients through that. So in summary, as mentioned, enablers and barriers for me definitely includes the cultural change, the technology requirements and the financial implications. I think it's vital to identify clear objectives and benefits for each telehealth initiative. Some of them will be the same throughout, but each telehealth initiative will have a slightly different direction. Having strong governance structures for us has been really absolutely key to the success of the projects. Developing good relationships with all the stakeholders, and that list is limitless, but ITS managers, clinical staff and administration staff are what I've listed there, patients of course as well. Plan the implementation and well plan it, including risk assessments and mitigation for those. And that's all from me.